Massachusetts Trust, a nonprofit, nonpolitical, and nonsectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us and together, we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today, the mineral kingdom. And before we get started, I'd like to give some credit to Alice Bailey, the founder of the Lucis Trust organization. Lucis Trust sponsors this show. Alice Bailey wrote 24 volumes of literature, and those 24 volumes of literature are the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show. The following thought is from the works of Alice Bailey. Esoterically speaking, in the mineral world, we have the divine plan hidden in the geometry of a crystal, and God's radiant beauty stored in the color of a precious stone. In miniature, and at the lowest point of manifestation, we find the divine idea working out. This seems to suggest that even the mineral kingdom contains spiritual significance. Is that correct?
It is. I think, first of all, we should, I suppose, define what we mean by kingdom. When we call the mineral kingdom a kingdom, what do we mean? In the ageless wisdom, that term kingdom refers to a state of consciousness. We're certainly aware of the human kingdom, the animal kingdom, but there's also the vegetable kingdom and the mineral kingdom. These are levels of consciousness, the implication being that everything that exists in form is an expression of some degree or some state of consciousness. So, that being said, I think anybody who's ever known a rock hound or been one, anyone who's belonged to a lapidary club, or gone out to hunt for minerals and perhaps learned how to polish them and gone to the gem and mineral shows that are so prevalent, especially in the more rural parts of this country, know what a mesmerizing study the minerals can be. Once you start learning about them, you're really fascinated by their beauty and their variety. And if you go so far as to study gems and perhaps become a member of the American Gem and Mineralogical Society, you begin to realize how varied and how beautiful and how powerful this mineral kingdom is. There's also the depiction in nature. There's been so much attention in recent months on the tsunami in the East Asian part of the world that was caused by an earthquake. And there's the Montserrat volcano in the Caribbean. I think it's gone quiet, I'm not sure. And there's the constant earthquake warnings that the people on the West Coast know about. All of this is expressive of great power as well as beauty.
Yes, and that power and beauty is related to the rays that we've just talked about, you know, the whole series of rays, the seventh ray in particular, and the first ray of power. Mm-hmm. And those two form a polar opposites of each other, and that's why the seventh ray and the first ray are active at this time, and they're creating a lot of effect in the mineral kingdom, and that's why we see perhaps so much volcanic activity and earthquakes and the tsunamis that we heard about just, you know, a few months ago and the devastation. But it's all related because it gives an idea of the sense of the whole, that the whole planet is one organism that is evolving along with the human kingdom.
As above, so below is the ancient principle, and that certainly demonstrates itself in the mineral kingdom. The power of pure spirit is seen in the densest levels of life on Earth. The seventh ray is seen so visibly in this kingdom because it's the ray of order, organization, and ritual. And we see order and organization in the composition of a crystal, or the organization of the various elements. We see ritual in the geometrically perfect creation of the geological realm. Anybody who ever has studied geology knows that there are various types of rock, igneous, metamorphic, and sedimentary. I remember that from my college geology class. And we see the rhythmic ritual of the seismic process underway in the study of geology. All this has to do with minerals.
Yes, and it's all part of this, as you mentioned, the cyclic activity, and that's an important aspect of the, because the if you ever think about a volcano, I read this somewhere that a volcano erupts and it spews out all these new minerals out from the depths of the earth onto the surface of the earth, and then eventually it recycles back down into the earth again. And it's cyclic. It takes millions of years for this to happen, but it's all part of the cyclic activity of earthquakes and volcanic activity. And if we could stand back and see the vast amounts of time involved here, but everything is still working very cyclically, but at a very slow pace.
It also suggests that the Earth is a living organism, isn't it?
Yes.
That it's not just a set, fixed, dead body floating in the universe, but alive and stirring itself up and churning up and coughing up all kinds of things from its depths, some of them toxic, many of them health-producing. I don't know if people realize how much we depend on the mineral kingdom for good health. Potassium, if we didn't have it, our hearts wouldn't beat regularly, and that's just one mineral. We have to have these minerals that come to us through the vegetable kingdom, which absorbs them and then is eaten by animals and by human beings, and we are all sharing with each other.
Right, yeah, and I think we have sort of come up through we are still made of some of the substance of the mineral kingdom as well as the vegetable and the animal kingdom, so it's another indication of the oneness of all of the kingdoms and how they're all interdependent, and we still need these minerals, and like iron, and what are some of the other elements that we need, iron and
magnesium,
carbon.
Potassium.
Yeah, carbon's very important.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So, I mean, these are
zinc.
All...
Zinc is very zinc. Important. Oh, yeah.
Zinc's right. Good for colds.
So, I mean, all of these are from the mineral kingdom that we have inherited, and we still need them for our health, as you say.
And the seventh ray features in another way in this mineral kingdom, not only through order, organization, and ritual, but we see it in the radiatory activity of the seventh ray. That is expressed most visibly in radium, which is from the mineral kingdom. And the ageless wisdom says that this increasing activity that we see in radiation and so on is due to the incoming seventh ray. We've talked in the past about the fact that this so-called new age that we hear about is linked to the incoming seventh ray energy, and that is bringing more activity, more stimulation of the radiation of the earth. So it's no accident that the Curies did their scientific work, and many other scientists as well, that brought more understanding of the both the destructive and the constructive aspects of radium.
And radiation is kind of the goal that is in store for the mineral kingdom. And there are lessons there and for the human kingdom as well, for all of the kingdoms, I think, because radiation seems to be the goal for, as we see it in the case of the diamond and the precious stones, they all radiate light to a certain extent. And it's the refinement process that we see that brings out all the radiant qualities.
It's interesting to try to see the analogy between radiation in the most physical levels of the Earth and the more subjective aspects of radiation, because the Ageless Wisdom says that the keynote of the spiritual seeker on the seventh ray is radiatory activity, and that the emergence of new ideas through mental radiation or telepathy, and the ability to transmit ideas, I suppose the internet being one medium, are indications of more radiation among human beings, more radiation of thought and ideas on the level of the mind. This is a more subjective aspect of the principle contained at its most dense level in radium itself. There's also in the vegetable kingdom the eucalyptus and so on that radiate, and these are, I suppose, elements and species that are going to become more prominent as the seventh ray comes into greater expression in the coming years.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. Our topic for today, the mineral kingdom. We have a special offer from Lucis Publishing Company today, and it's the Alice Bailey book entitled The Seven Rays of Life. The Seven Rays of Life is a book that really is a compilation of extracts from the 24 books by Alice Bailey, and what's been done is anything related to the topic that's being discussed today, it's more or less been synthesized into this one book in order to make your study an easier one. If you're interested in this topic, it's certainly a lot easier to read it this way than doing research and hopping around to the different 24 volumes that contain the information. Some of the chapters include an overview of the seven rays, the rays and world affairs, the rays and human development, the spiritual path and the rays, and ray methods of service, among other topics. Now, the discount comes in the form of free shipping and handling, and so you're just paying for the actual cost of the book, which by itself is very reasonable. It's only $15. And what you need to do is send a check or money order to Lucis Publishing Company, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's a check or money order for $15 to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Once again, you should mention that you heard about the offer on Inner Sight and the title of the book, The Seven Rays of Life. We appreciate the donations you've given us in the past. We thank you for your support, and we hope you continue giving us your support, because that's what keeps us on the air. That's what allows us to do these shows every week. So if you want to continue with your donations, or if there are new people out there who want to donate, you can send your checks, money orders to Lucis Trust, L-U-C-I-S, that's Lucis, L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And if you want to make more direct contact with Lucis Trust and its staff, you're welcome to come to our monthly meditation meetings. You can write or call for a meeting schedule, our phone number, by the way, if you need to call us. And also, if you'd like to, you can ask for a general package of information telling you all about Lucis Trust. But give us a call at 1-866-695-8247. Once again, that's 1-866-695-8247. 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. We have a website, and our website is www.lucistrust.org. And, of course, there's a lot of information on the website. But one of the primary reasons why people key into our website is to look at the past archive library of radio shows that you find stored there. And you can listen to a variety of different themes that come from the Alice Bailey material. And, by the way, one more thing. Those donations are tax-deductible, so it might give you more of an incentive to give us that kind of support. At any rate, you know, Sarah Dale, I was thinking that it just amazes me that minerals have consciousness. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you want to explore that further with us, but I'm just thinking, I mean, that when I was driving my car upstate one time, I saw a sign, Falling Rock Zone, and then it said Falling Rock Zone ends, and then a rock came tumbling down anyway and just missed my
car.
After the sign was over.
Obviously wasn't
was
aware of the sign.
I wonder if it had a consciousness of its own.
It doesn't read. No. Not that high level of consciousness.
So that was one thought that that ran through my mind. But and also another thought, as you and Dale were talking, that stimulated my interest, was the idea that I read someplace that, or maybe it was a biology course I took, that every mineral in the earth is present in the human body. So that intrigued me, but what type of consciousness would be in minerals?
I have no idea.
But just it's in the Bally books, and I guess
I've read it and I said it.
You accept it.
I read it, I believe it, and I've repeated it. I have no idea, except that I can understand on some level that everything that exists in form is an expression of consciousness. It's a life, and it exists in form, and the integrating principle between life or spirit and form is consciousness. There's some kind of design, some kind of awareness that is being expressed through any form that is in part an expression of divinity. If we believe that the world is an expression of the body of God, we could say, then everything within the world that belongs to the natural state of the world is created by God as an expression of himself. And the ageless wisdom says that the mineral kingdom is an especially significant expression of the organizing ability of God. So perhaps we could say the consciousness within a mineral is the consciousness of order and organization. And when one studies the structure of minerals, you do see this divine, intricate, perfect pattern at work.
Right. It's especially noticeable in the precious stones,
yes,
like the diamond. I mean, in fact, the diamond, it's considered, perhaps this is another way of looking at it, that the diamonds and the precious stones are considered to be like the initiates,
mm-hmm,
of the mineral kingdom.
Right. They're
they are the most
advanced
mm-hmm, in their state of the ability to irradiate beyond the case in which they are made, beyond themselves, beyond their body.
Mm-hmm.
They radiate beyond the diamond.
They transmit.
And, you know,
yeah, the diamond refracts. It refracts all light, and all light passes through it and is projected out from it. Nothing is retained within it, as I understand it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a perfect transmitter.
And that's the kind of the goal, as I think we mentioned earlier, the goal of the mineral kingdom is to achieve this state of radiation, which mm-hmm, we see in radium, and also in the release of the energy of the atom when the man stepped in and effected a great transition there for the mineral kingdom when we found the secret of releasing.
I certainly won't belittle my wife's interest in diamonds after hearing all this.
But, no, I think you're right about the irradiation
well,
of diamonds.
The diamond is expressing what the goal of the human being is, which is to be a perfect transmitter of the light that is within. Christ said, I am the light of the world. And we are also supposed to be those light-emitting transmitters. Mm-hmm. the diamond is our prototype, we could say. It's the teacher of what we are to become. And in fact, Buddhism sometimes speaks of the diamond souled. The Buddha is referred to as the diamond souled, perfectly emitting the light within him. And he is the embodiment of the journey of every human being to transmit the pure white light and to become a perfect revealer of the inner light and radiance.
Yeah, that's the so we see God at work even in this densest of material substance.
Anybody who's ever been to the gem and minerals display at the Museum of Natural History,
I've been there. Yeah,
it's awesome to see the collection of stones and the brilliance and the beauty. There's something deeply spiritual about it.
Yeah, it's the handiwork of God, and the achievement of the mineral kingdom through these precious stones and gems that indicate how beauty can be shown and illustrated and radiated into the world, even by these small crystals. And this is the goal for human beings. It's the goal for all the kingdoms. You know, the plant stage also goes through the irradiation of their beauty and their perfume. And animal kingdoms have their leading exponents to in the domestic animals. So, I mean, in every kingdom, we see this same process at work.
It's said that every kingdom of nature has a particular note or tone, not only a level of consciousness, but a tone or a note. And it's interesting to ponder on the fact that a volcano emits a tone and is the result of the tone being sounded. It's a process that's underway, as I understand it, that passes from one level to another, and so is the diamond. The diamond is an expression of a process of intense pressure that transforms it from carbon to a diamond. And there's a parable in this for the path of the human being from utterly animal man to an initiated, spiritually realized being. Through heat, through pressure, the person is transformed, just as the diamond is. And this is a kind of a metamorphosis. And in fact, going back to my geology class, I remember learning about metamorphic rocks. Those are rocks that have been not only adapted, but utterly transformed into something new and totally different through the result of the experience of heat and pressure.
Yes, the agency through to achieve this perfecting stage is the agency of fire.
Mm.
And literally it's fire in the core of the earth that is the affecting agent here, and it produces the volcanic action, and which is also helping to maintain a certain purity of the atmosphere, perhaps. And so you see in the human kingdom, in the human stage, that we have the fire of mind. Mind is the same corresponding fire. So,
coming back to the link that you mentioned a while ago between the first ray and the seventh, there is an interesting comment in the Ageless Wisdom about how the first kingdom in nature, the mineral kingdom, and the final kingdom, which is the kingdom of souls, the last that will appear on our planet, have an interrelation. And Alice Bailey said that there's a mysterious unity existing between the mineral kingdom and this highest kingdom. And she said what can be seen now in the organization of a crystal or a jewel or a diamond is going to appear likewise through the medium of the whole universe. That God is sometimes called the grand geometrician, and he is working out some kind of design that we see in a kind of embryonic form in the great cathedrals of the world that are made from minerals. They are intricate and highly organized and deeply powerful spiritual spaces that are the beginnings of the expression of, I guess, a union between first-ray spiritual power and seventh-ray expression on the densest level.
They, the first ray of power and the seventh ray form a, they're like polar opposites.
And
they're a complete unit. And they represent the whole, in a sense. Because this is maybe a little technical, perhaps a little difficult to grasp, but it's one unit. The difference between the densest of the material plane and the refinement of the spiritual plane is just one of degree, but it's all one substance, one great whole, and that's one of the beauty of the structure of God.
Alice Bailey said that the goal of the universal concept is seen when the jewel rays forth its beauty and when radium sends forth its rays. She said, if you could really understand the history of a crystal, you would enter into the glory of God. If you could enter into the attractive and repulsive consciousness of a piece of iron or lead, you'd see revealed the complete story of evolution. If you could study the hidden processes that go on under the influence of fire, she said, you'd enter into the secret of initiation. When the day comes when the history of the mineral kingdom can be grasped by the illumined seeker, he will then see the long road that the diamond has traveled, and by analogy, the long road that all human beings must traverse, governed by the same laws as the diamond and undergoing the same experience and unfolding ultimately the same consciousness.
Please take advantage of the special offer from Lucis Publishing Company, and that's the book, The Seven Rays of Life. You have to ask for The Seven Rays of Life by Alice Bailey. It's a compilation of extracts from all 24 books by Alice Bailey. Chapters include an overview of the seven rays, the rays and world affairs, the rays and human development, and the spiritual path in the rays, and so much more. It's available for $15. The discount comes in the form of free shipping and handling. Send your check or money order to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.